Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ma Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshava Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, verse 18. And let's do the word for word first. Ya, anyone who, shat, six, Sapatnan, adversaries. Vijigishamana, desiring to conquer. Griheshu, in householder life. Nivishya, having entered. Yateta, must try. Purvam, first. Atyeti, conquers. Durga Ashita, being in a fortified place. Urjita Arin, very strong enemies. Chineshu, decreased. Kamam, lusty desires. Vicharet, can go. Vipaschit, the most learned, the most experienced learned. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, one who is situated in household life. Oh, we forgot to chant, didn't we? Okay, let's chant the verse. I get into automatic mode. Yashat sapatnan vijigishamano. Yashat sapatnan vijigishamano. Yashat sapatnan vijagishamano. Griheshu nirvishayate tapurvam. Griheshu nirvishayate tapurvam. Atyeti durga shrita urjitani. Atyeti durga shrita urjitani. Chineshu kamam vicharit vipaschit. Chineshu kamam vicharit vipaschit. Is it cold? Huh? Oh, you want to close it? All right, now, translation and purport. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs, is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. Purport, the Vedic system of four varnas and four ashramas is very scientific, and its entire purpose is to enable one to control the senses. Before entering household life, grihastha ashrama, a student is fully trained to become jitendriya, a conqueror of the senses. Such a mature student is allowed to become a householder, and because he was first trained in conquering his senses, he retires from household life and becomes vanaprastha. As soon as the strong waves of youthful life are past and he reaches the verge of old age at 50 years or slightly more. Yeah. Then, after being further trained, he accepts sannyasa. He is then a fully learned and renounced person who can move anywhere and everywhere without fear of being captivated by material desires. The senses are considered very powerful enemies. As a king in a strong fortress can conquer powerful enemies, so a householder in grihastha ashrama, household life, can conquer the lusty desires of youth and be very secure when he takes vanaprastha and sannyasa. Yat shat sapatnan vijagishamano griheshu nirvishya yate tapurvam atyeti durga shrita urjitarin kshineshu kamang vicharet vipaschit. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five senses, sense organs, is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. This is a continuation of Lord Brahma's discussion with Priyavrata, convincing Priyavrata to go a bit slower in his pursuit of spiritual perfection. It's good to want to go fast, to be in a spirit of urgency, and at the same time, Lord Brahma is saying, don't go too fast. Don't go in a way which will be premature. He's giving an argument here which is one of two arguments we find in Vedic culture. One is, go for renunciation as soon as possible. and skip householder life. Go for renunciation, because that's what human life is for. So don't waste your time. And the other argument is do things in a methodical way. Go through the ashramas one after the other, and in this way you'll be able to properly renounce. After being a householder and having experienced all of the challenge of household life, then you can move on to the renounced orders. Manu, in his Manu Sanghita, praises very much the household ashram. He says it is the most essential of the ashramas. And if you think about it, he has a point. If there weren't any household ashrama, none of us would be here today. We have our parents to thank for our existence in the human form of life. Aside from that, it is the householders who are maintaining all of the other ashramas. Everyone else is more or less a parasite. As some anthropologists put it, perhaps a little crudely, the householders are engaged in production and reproduction. These are the functions. And these are very demanding functions, and the maintenance which is involved in production is occupying the householders to such an extent that this acts to subdue, as is given an analogy here of a king subduing his enemies. So this intense engagement, necessity to maintain oneself, the many preoccupations, responsibilities that the householders have, naturally bring about subduing of the powerful enemies, which are the senses and the mind. Or so we are told. I was advised quite some years ago. This will lead into my other subject, which Kanchanavali Mataji has requested me to talk about today, namely the Radharaman temple and community in Vrindavan, which I studied for 4 months in 2001. Several years before that, I got to know one of the priests, one of the Goswamis of the Radharaman temple, the late Vishwambar Goswami. And one day, I was visiting him at his home, very, very, I don't know what to say, very nice gentleman. I was very attracted to his very devotional mood of service to Radharaman, but also his deep knowledge of our tradition. And he had a great appreciation for the devotees of ISKCON, and often invited us to the temple, and he invited me to his home once for dinner. And during dinner, he preached to me that I should become a householder. Because this is necessary to learn responsibility. Of course, all of the Goswamis, they're called Goswamis. It's a kind of family name, title, Goswami for them. They're all householders, and they don't have in their tradition the sannyas, taking sannyas as we have in our followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he preached to me like that, and well, I didn't take his advice. What to say? But he was very concerned, sort of in the mood of a father for the son. He said, you know, young man, you should take this responsibility. This is necessary and like that. And I was very respectful and I nodded in agreement, but then I never actually... Yeah, I don't know. Just never happened. So many years later, then I have visited over the years briefly the temple, and I had heard also many years before how Srila Prabhupada had encouraged some of his pujari disciples to study the Radharaman temple. To study the worship of Radharaman, that we could learn something from them develop our standards of worship in our temples. Incidentally, he also mentioned the Keshavji Gaudiya Math in Mathura as another temple which could be studied for their standards. So it wasn't only Radharaman. But I was interested in Radharaman, and it seemed to me that no one had really pursued what Srila Prabhupada had instructed, to seriously study this temple, and the worship. So the opportunity came in 2001. I actually got a grant from Oxford University that helped to pay for going there and staying there. And I also managed to get a place to stay, which was just 1 minute walk away from the Radharaman Gera, the compound, just on the road between Radharaman and Radha Gopinath Temple. It was a very nice place, renovated by one of the Radharaman Goswamis, owned by Padmanabh Goswami and his family. And he allowed me to stay there for 4 months. So it was very convenient. I could go right to the temple every morning. I could be there for Mangal Arati and, yeah, go there any time of day. And that's what I did. I spent this time just attending temple programs, just observing what they do, and gradually getting to know a few of the Goswamis, the families. It was by no means as in-depth as I would have liked to get to know these families. My Hindi is still in its baby shoes, and so my ability to really interact with most of the Goswamis was very limited. Some, of course, speak very good English, and with them I spent more time. With some of them, I managed to get one brahmachari from the Krishna Balaram Mandir to come and help me translating. And one Goswami I discovered, he was actually just two doors down from where I lived, a very elderly Goswami in his 90s, Gaur Krishna Goswami, and he was very kind to spend time. I would ask him questions about the worship and the tradition, and it turned out he had written a whole book on the subject in Hindi, and I obtained a copy from him, and gradually I translated most of the book, also with some help from this devotee from Krishna Balaram Mandir. And one of the things he mentions in that book is that the Goswamis have a manual which they use for their daily worship. One of my aims, one of my purposes, was to try to see how the present day worship going on in the temple relates to or follows the Hari Bhakti Vilasa, which after all is the book, the collection, compilation by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who founded the temple to whom the deity appeared. And that day of his appearance, incidentally, is yesterday. They celebrate the day after Nrsingha Chaturdasi, because on the day of Nrsingha Chaturdasi, so the story goes, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping his Shalagram Shila that day in the mood of Nrsingadev, and at the same time he was hankering for a deity that, like his colleagues, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, could be dressed and ornamented and so on. He longed to also have such a deity, and at the same time lamented that, unlike Prahlad, who was so devoted to the Lord that the Lord personally appeared to him, in this mood of lamentation, he fell asleep that night, Nrsingha Chaturdasi night, only to wake up the next morning to find a very nice present in the basket in which he kept his Shalagram Shilas. You know that story. He kept this basket sort of hanging to keep it protected, and he saw that the lid was had been moved, and he was a little concerned. Maybe some snake got in there or what? But he carefully looked, and he saw, oh, what is this? Who is this? Radharaman had appeared, replacing the Shalagram Shilas. And the Goswamis today tell you that you can see, well, transforming into, because they say you can see the marks of the Shalagram Shila in Radharamanji's shoulder, which they you have to take by their word, because you are not allowed to go up to see on the altar, because only Radharaman Goswamis in the family line descent who are male can go on the altar. The temple is interesting in many respects. One of them is that it has been going on since that time, some 460, 70 years now, I believe. The temple continues. We in our ISKCON temples, some of them, not such a struggle here, although maybe sometimes we wonder, who's going to do the arti? They continue. We sometimes struggle after 10, 20, 30 years of the temple. They're continuing since 400 and going on 500 years. Their system of worship is significantly different in terms of who does the worship. I mentioned it's the Goswami families, and these are descendants of the original Brahmin family that Gopal Bhatta Goswami engaged. One Damodar Goswami and his descendants. Now, some of the family branches have actually died out. Others, there are some, as I've heard, around 40 families now who maintain the worship, and they do it in rotation. They have a system of rotation which, over the decades and centuries, has made for quite a variation in periods. So one Goswami may have a certain period in a particular time of the year, which runs for 1 week or 2 weeks. And then in addition, he may have one day some other time in the year, or 2 days. And so it's become a sort of complicated schedule as it goes around the year. But each of the families, the ones that I came to know, are very, well, they're proud, but in a, I would say, in a nice, in a devotional way, of this privilege that they have to worship Radharaman. And so when their time comes, they are preparing themselves. They're preparing themselves, and they're also preparing their people. Each of these families, the senior members, are generally also gurus, diksha gurus for any number of disciples, families in and around Vrindavan and North India more widely, and some of them also run sort of branch temples in different parts of Northern India. And so one thing they'll do is advertise, you know, that our puja period is coming up. Here are the dates, so be sure to be there during this time, because we're going to have some really exciting events during this time. There's a bit of hopefully friendly competition also amongst the families to sort of outdo each other in how they worship the deity. This is true of some more than others. Some families really go all out in a very big way when it's their period of worship. The decoration, the sringara, and decoration can be really stunning at certain times of year. Some of them will commission special outfits for the deity, and the deity, as you know, is quite small, 11 1/4 inches, something like that. And so to make a dress for the deity doesn't require so much cloth. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. But therefore, the cloth may be sometimes extremely rich, valuable. Or, for example, one outfit, Radharaman wears kind of shorts, sort of Bermuda shorts, which are completely made out of small gold pearls. And that means real gold, solid. You know, everything they wear, the ornaments, the jewels, everything are real. Solid gold, solid silver, real pearls, and so on, rubies, and so on. That's more possible when you have a smaller deity, but also they have, over the years, developed quite a collection of clothing and ornaments, which they keep in a safe, and then they after each family has done their worship, they do an inventory to make sure nothing has disappeared. They do an inventory, but also each family will have its own clothing and ornaments that they will bring to offer to the deity, and then each of those families have their friends, their supporters, their patrons, their disciples who want to contribute. So someone will contribute a new outfit, and sometimes it'll be a whole series of new outfits every day over a period of a week or 2 weeks. In the worship of Radharaman, there's very much a sense that the particular time and season is significant. The dress and ornamentation, keeping with that subject, is reflective of the time of year. If it's the hot season, then Krishna doesn't wear very much. In fact, you'll see some pictures. Some days he's wearing what one lady scholar calls a bikini. he's wearing something more like, you know, Copins only, because it's so hot, you know. And so why should they dress him up in velvet? Sometimes in our temples you'll see it's a warm day outside, but the devotees dress Krishna in, you know, hot clothes, and I think, oh, poor Krishna. And then, of course, in the winter season, they'll dress Krishna Radharaman very warmly, they will also have a different singasanas. They have these all-silver singasanas. And during the winter, except for one or maybe two festivals, the deity remains, how to say, in the Garbhagriha itself, very far back. And so you kind of need binoculars to see anything in detail on the deity. Other festivals, and especially in the summer, they'll bring him out on what's called the Jagamohan. This is the platform. We have a sort of stage here. They have a quite large area stage. And they'll bring him forward. The decoration will be what they call bangala, full bangala. They have artisans who are very skilled in taking banana trunks, and then they cut them in such a way that they can make very ornate structures. These are not load-bearing structures. They're just decorative structures which make everything look like a house or a gazebo, a garden arrangement. And in all of this, there's a great deal of creativity. People come into the temple with a real spirit of, you know, what is Radharaman? How is he going to appear today? What's he going to look like? And when the curtain opens, it's like, ooh, ah, wow. And people are very enthusiastic to see, because every day is a new show. It's a new experience. Many of you have probably been to the Radharaman temple. You'll know that they also have very nice tradition of samaj gayana. This is the music playing. There will be a group of musicians sitting opposite the deity behind in an alcove, and they will play sometimes for hours, especially in the evenings. And it can be very sweet. They'll sing songs, many of which were written specifically for Radharaman. There's actually a out of print now, but they have a collection of songs in Brajabhasa that describe the worship of Radharaman in detail, in song. It was a great effort for me to dig up these songs. It took me quite some time to get one of the Goswamis to agree that I could look in his library, and then I could find. And then when I found these songs, in the meantime, I had also come to know about another temple in Vrindavan, which most ISKCON devotees are not aware of. That's the Radha Vallabha temple. Has anyone been there? Krishangi Maharaji. It's similarly very, very wonderful worship they do. It's a completely different sampradaya, and they have some, let's say, interesting ideas in their philosophy. For example, that Radha is ontologically superior to Krishna. He is supreme. She is the supreme personality of Godhead. But in the temple, the deity is Krishna, and Radha, as in the Radharaman temple, is represented by what they call Gaddi Seva. Actually, they have a yantra, gold yantra, with Radha mantra written, and they cover with something like a sari and a crown to represent Radha's presence. But they consider in the Radhavallabha temple that Radha is too exalted to be represented physically. Anyway, they also have an amazing samaj gayana tradition, beautiful music they sing, and they also have a book. Actually, it's in three volumes, and they're hardbound, and each volume is about this thick. They have them for sale in their office. I very eagerly bought them and brought one of those volumes to this Goswami in the Radharaman temple, and I said, Goswamiji, why is it that in your temple you don't have something similar? And he said, yeah, our temple council is so disorganized. And he said something like, don't get me started about that. And I said, but, you know, certainly they could organize this. No, they can't get anything together. And then he said, maybe you could organize this. I'm an outsider. What do I know? There's three things. There's the Shringar, the decoration. There's the music, Samaj Gayana, and then the food, the offerings. And the Radharaman temple prides itself on having very strict standards in their kitchen. They actually have two sides to their kitchen. One side of the kitchen is for preparing foods which are deep fried in ghee. And the other side of the kitchen is for things which are prepared by boiling. So rice and such things are prepared by boiling. The things which are like rice dal and sabjis and so on, these have to be prepared by Radharaman Goswamis, who are in succession. They, and also by men only. You may ask, what about the ladies are involved in decoration when there's a festival? They may help in that. And they do worship at home, and they are very much in charge at home. I came to know this from one Goswami family visiting. I could see, yes, the woman is in charge at home. And they will worship Shalagram Shila at home, or Shalagram Shilas, like that. So the cooking is done also by Brahmin men, members of the family, or other Brahmins. They may not, and those who do the whatever is deep fried, because deep fried is considered, in Brahminical culture, like Prabhupada once said, you can actually, if you're traveling by train and you don't have anything to eat, he said, it's all right to eat, to buy some kachoris from the train station and eat. Why? Because they're deep fried. They're safe. They're karmically not as serious as other foods, which are very much dependent on the cook. So they have a somewhat lesser standard for that side of the kitchen. But they're, of course, very proud to say that they do all their cooking in this way. And this has been something, I don't know how this is changing now, but they say, unlike other temples, we do all of our cooking using Yamuna water. And you say, but the Yamuna is so contaminated now. No, we use Yamuna water, which is from further north, and we filter it, but we still use Yamuna water. That's their standard. I don't know if that was now a few years ago. Since then, the Yamuna has become even more contaminated. It's officially a dead river below Delhi. That's another story. But they do keep another careful standard. You'll see them in the temple, which you don't see in other temples. They're very careful that the pujari remains clean and untouched by others. And so you'll see whenever they're distributing tulsi or other things, they'll be very careful to drop into your hand. They won't place in your hand anything. They will drop it into your hand. You won't see that in the Radha Damodar temple, for example. So they're very conscientious about that. So certain traditions they keep very carefully. And yes, they do follow this certain text, which surprised me when I finally was able to get a copy. The Goswami I was especially working with, Padmanabh Goswami, he said, oh, my worship period is coming up. I asked him, is it possible to get a copy of this archana procedure you have? He said, yes. He said, there's only one copy. It's on the altar. Oh, so how do I get? Well, he said, when I'm doing my puja in a few days' time, during that time I will arrange for you. Okay, so it was his puja time. Every day I went to him. So, and he said, oh, I forgot today. I'll get it for you tomorrow. This was going on day after day, and the time was running out, and I thought, 2 weeks are going to be over, and he's going to say, oh, I'm so sorry, wait till next year or whatever. So one day I confronted him. I said, Goswamiji, are you putting me off? Are you going to give me this or not? Just tell me if you don't want to give to me. And he said, no, no, I will give to you. And then the next day he gave me a photocopy. But the photocopy was hardly readable. It was so faded. It was handwritten, and it was Brajabhasha. What am I going to do with this? Fortunately, it was quite short. It was only 8 pages. The whole daily worship they do, the description, is all in 8 pages. Much of what they do is actually quite simple. I was thinking, because Hari Bhakti Vilas is this big, heavy book, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on with so many details. They have 8-page booklet. Well, I managed to find one very nice scholar through another scholar. I found one scholar who was very happy to help me over a period of days to transliterate and then translate the whole thing. And then, after I did that, I went back to the Padmanabh Goswami, and I went through every single step, and I asked him, so, do you do like this? Do you do like this? Do you do like this? Yes, we do that. Yes, we do that. No, we don't exactly do like that. And so he gave me some information how it's going on today. So it's inspiring to see a temple like this. Of course, it's different from in the West because it's Vrindavan. And so the whole town is a town of pilgrimage. It's said that more people visit Vrindavan now per year than visit the Taj Mahal. So that's different. There are a lot of things different about, you know, having a temple in Vrindavan as opposed to in, what is this area called? The Ardennes Hills of Belgium. Nevertheless, there's some similarity as well. We're all worshiping Krishna. And like the temple there, we understand Krishna is present all the time. There's some traditions where, Krishna is invoked, you worship him, and after you're finished, you say goodbye, put him back in the box, and that's it. But we understand Krishna is always present, 24/7, as they say. So Oh, one of the very nice little touches in the Radharaman temple, there's one Goswami. What's his name? Forgetting at the moment. Every evening, as Krishna is put to rest, he stands in the temple room and plays a little flute. We might call it a piccolo, little, very small flute. And he plays very sweet flute, which he says is his service, one of his services to the deity to help Krishna go to sleep. And he says sometimes he has to travel, he's also a preacher, and then he worries that Krishna might not be getting to sleep because he's not there to play the flute for him. Yeah. Okay, that's in a nutshell. If you want to know more about what I learned, it's in chapter 2 of my book, Attending Krishna's Image, Chaitanya Vaishnava Murti Seva as Devotional Truth, which I think there's a copy in the library if it hasn't disappeared. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions? Yes, Kanchanavali Maharaj. No, as I understand, not, because there are still many Shalagram Shilas on the altar. You can't really see them from the temple because they're in a sort of throne which has high sides. And what did they tell me? There's some 25 Shilas now. I believe some have been added over the years. But as I understand, no, not all of them. In earlier times, how many of you have been there? So many, yeah. So, you know, there's this high kind of stage platform. That's the Jagamohan. In early photos, you'll see that they had steps to the left and to the right, and visitors could go up on that platform so you could come quite close to the deity. Well, they stopped that when it became, I think it was an effect of Gandhi's preaching in the early 20th century, that a law was made that the temples had to be open so anyone could come. In earlier times, it wasn't just anyone who could visit the temple. People who were considered, you know, lower caste and all of that would not be allowed. So when they saw, oh, now we have to open the temple to everyone, all kinds of people are going to be coming in here. Okay, removed they. So then they removed those steps. So now everyone, we all have to keep the more humble position, and you can bring your binoculars. Yes, Manoj. Yes.
I saw an explanation on Facebook that, for instance, after the first program,
yes. Expand. Well, that's indeed the mood. The Ashtakaliya Lila, the daily eightfold pastimes of the Lord, are. And the Goswamis consider themselves. It's very sort of raga bhakti in the sense they consider themselves assistants to the gopis who are making these arrangements in the course of the day. Some of them more, one has to say, than others, because truth be told, sometimes you'll see one of the Goswamis during the lunch, the bhoga offering, when he's sitting on the Jagamohan, waiting as while Krishna eats, he'll be reading a newspaper. So, you know, so why not? I don't know. But at least, some of them take it very seriously, and they really do sort of cultivate that mood that they're simply facilitating the Lord's eightfold daily pastimes. There's some more explanation of this in a book, which I think we maybe also have in the library, there's one book called Loving Krishna. That's the one about ornamentation. No, that one is there. There's another book by Margaret Case, which goes through the Eightfold Leela, but especially as it's performed when they do the Ras Leela performance of the, you know, the young boys. While I was there, at the end of my stay, toward the end of my stay, the one family of Shivatsa Goswami and his family, they have their whole big project, the Chaitanya Prem Sangstan, and they have this Jai Singh Gera. They have their own area, and they put on all these cultural programs, and they did something which they do very rarely, and I was fortunate to be able to attend. They don't even advertise, they just have for their friends and family. And that was over an eight-day period, they did a performance of the Ashtakaliya Leela, not in the temple room, in their theater, their stage, in which they had other deities, Radha, Krishna, and Krishna Balaram, which were their home deities, and they would go through each of the services. One day they would start at, let's say, 6 in the morning and go until 9 in the morning, and during this 3 hours they had their Samaj Gayana group, this very expert musician and his group would sing the appropriate songs for that time of day, and then the pujaris would, in you might call slow motion, they would perform all of the services. So what is normally going on behind the curtain, behind the doors, unseen, they were now doing in public. You could see everything they did, but everything was kind of like a slow motion dance. And this became especially fun for the afternoon Leela. When Krishna comes home after herding the cows, so then they offer him a feast, and the singers are singing, and then they had some entertainment for Krishna and Balaram. They had set up like a puppet show with the puppets on a tightrope, and some of the some of the musicians would get up one after another and do some performance. One of them did a dance with fire plates with fire and all kinds of things. They were, you know, just having fun. And then the singers would also sometimes speak on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, saying, for example, "Oh, that preparation is really good. I want more of that." And then the pujari had to run back and bring some more of whatever it was. And everyone was having too much fun. So So that went every day. So one day would be 6 to 9 in the morning, the next day would be 9 to 12, the next day 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12 midnight, midnight to 3 in the morning. And if you wanted to see the show, you had to be there at that time. The very last of that series, an odd thing happened. It was the grand finale, which happens, I guess it was 9 till midnight. It was going to be the grand finale, and it was kind of all building up. And then the music was going, and nothing was happening for a long time. And the music was going, and nothing was happening. And then one of the Goswamis came on the stage, and he said, "Hare Krishna, we're very sorry, but we have to stop now." Why? Because one member of their family had died. One of the senior aunt, the aunt, had died, and so now immediately the family goes into mourning, and so you can't just, even though you know they had spent so much time preparing all this, now stop, Hare Krishna, and that was it. It was a little bit strange, but anyway. Yes.
I'm just wondering how you could tell us how each chapter of the Ramayana appeared, and how we can see the relationship.
About Radha worship. Well, the story they tell, and I don't remember details, but at one point there was a Radha deity. And the story goes that one of the Goswamis, one of the more senior and respected Goswamis, had a dream in which Radharaman appeared to him and said, "This Radha, she doesn't need to be here because I am already both Radha and Krishna. And besides, she's a little too big for me." So apparently she was removed to one of these outlying temples of the Radharaman families. And one devotee did a film in which that's explained in more detail. Interesting film. And he even went to that temple, as I remember. Yeah, that's about all I can say. And then I don't know if it was at that time, I don't remember now if it was at that time that the deity of Radha was replaced with the yantra. But you'll see this in these three temples, Radha Vallabha, Bankhe Bihari, same arrangement, they call it Gaddi Seva, and Radharaman. There's somehow the sense that Radha and Krishna are together, combined. Yeah. But in the Radha Vallabha temple, they say Radha is too exalted to be portrayed in physical form. They also complain, they say, you know, around Vrindavan you'll see all over on the trees and on the walls, everywhere people paint Radhe, Radhe, or Jai Radhe. They say this should not be done, shouldn't be done. Too exalted. Anyway, that's their mood. Yes. Oh, yes, they tell the story that Radharaman, during those times of danger, would be kept at night in a boat on the Yamuna, on the Kaliyadaha lake, sort of the Yamuna, with devotees guarding the deity all night, they say, with poison arrows. Yeah, that's what they say. So Radharaman is also relatively small and therefore hideable. They also say that Radharaman includes in his features the deities Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, and Radha Madan Mohan. It is said that if you have darshan of those three deities in one day, this is very auspicious. To do that, you need to do a bit of traveling. You have to go to Karali to see Radha Madan Mohan, and then you have to quick jump in your jeep or whatever and drive to Jaipur, and there you can have darshan of Radha Govinda and then Radha Gopinath. But the Radharaman Goswamis advertise, hey, no need for all of this trouble. They're all present in Radharaman. Just come and have darshan. And another advantage of Radharaman worship on Jamashtami is they have the Abhishek late morning, ending early afternoon, and when the Abhishek is finished, the fast is finished. At least as far as Charanamrita goes, because after this they have this, they really cut loose and they pour Charanamrita. If you have a cup, they'll pour it more or less in the cup, maybe, and they'll pour it everywhere else as well. It kind of goes everywhere. Yeah. In the Radha Damodar temple, after Radhasthami, they have, you may know, four sets of deities. So they bring out all the Radhas and worship and bathe them together. And then after that, they don't use the Charanamrita. They use a mix of yogurt and water and turmeric. And they come out and they sprinkle everyone from the Jagamohan. They'll sprinkle. Everyone gets covered in. Yeah, it's a little bit like holy. Yeah. Some fun. Okay, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.